Baseball PhD podcast segment to remember, 2010.
This interview comes from episode 19, Colorado Rockies.
Ed interviews Lloyd Johnson, former executive director of the Society of American Baseball Research. Lloyd walks Ed around the Field of Legends display at the Negro League's Baseball Museum in Kansas City.
One of the most impressive things that I see is this Field of Legends, and I'm standing in the middle of it with Lloyd Johnson. And Lloyd, if we can paint a word picture for our listeners, we have statues of nine baseball players and a batter, and I imagine each one of these statues represents someone. So let's start with the pitcher. Let's walk over here, and I see a statue. I'm 6'4", and I'm looking at a statue that's maybe 6'5", 6'6", and it says Satchel Paige on it, and on the front is Monarchs. So let's fill it in. What did Satchel Paige do for the Kansas City Monarchs?
He was their main pitcher. He also was their barnstorming pitcher. Satchel Paige was a fellow who had two contracts, one play for the regular team and another for the barnstorming team. And Paige routinely pitched about 1,000 innings every year.
Wow.
He had a rubber arm. Connie Johnson told me he had no muscle in his arm, which is the reason he could sling the ball, and he could pitch forever.
Wow. Now, let's go to the plate. I'm looking at a big catcher. Looks like an African-American Johnny Bench, and he's kneeling. And Josh Gibson, what about him?
Buck O'Neill told us that Josh Gibson was the best hitter he ever saw. And Gibson was 35 or 38, something like that, when baseball was integrated. And it always broke his heart that he never got to play big league baseball, because he was, for years and years, the best hitter and the best catcher in the Negro Leagues.
So it's fair to say he was the Johnny Bench of the Negro Leagues.
He was better than Bench. He started when he was 14 years old. He was sitting in the stands, and they brought him down to play.
Wow. And then we've got a batter here. I've never heard of him. Martin DeHigo.
He's a Hall of Famer, and all these statues represent the Negro Leaguers who are in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
So everyone here is a Cooperstown inductee.
Yes. Martin DeHigo is also in the Mexican League Hall of Fame. He is one of the greatest players of all time.
And what position did he play?
He played every position. He was a manager. He was a heavy hitter. He pitched from time to time. He was just an extraordinary Cuban
ball
player.
Guy. All right. Well, let's run the first base. And I see a guy, and there's the gray on his front. Is it gray or Grays?
Grays. A Homestead Grays.
All right. Just like Grays Anatomy.
Yep.
So,
Homestead Grays.
And we've got Buck Leonard. Now, he's not as big as the other guys. Maybe a 5'10 guy.
They are pretty much to their regular size here.
Well, this is a good sized crew of nine guys.
And look at the glove here.
Right. No, the gloves were pretty simplistic.
That's a Doak Walker special right there.
And let's go to second base. And I'm seeing a guy with NY on it, so it's got to be New York. What was it, the New York Black Yankees? Or what teams were they in New York?
This is probably the greatest shortstop of all time.
And they put him at second because they're so deep. But John Henry Lloyd.
Yes, John Henry Lloyd was 45 years old and he hit 400 in the Negro Leagues.
Wow. If he's the greatest shortstop and they've got him at second, let's get over to short and figure out who's the imposter at short. And we've got a guy named Judy Johnson. So he must really be good if he's a Hall of Famer and his first name is Judy.
Well, that's true. That's true. He also coined the term only the ball was white. There's a statue of him in Wilmington, Delaware, and he was from Wilmington. He was just an excellent player and one of the highest paid players in the Eastern National League.
He looked small, so he had to be like a leadoff or a number two batter. He'd bat for average.
Well, these guys, the Negro Leagues were not comparable to the major leagues, but they had major leaguers in them. So the guys who were the major leaguers in the Negro Leagues would hit 455 like John Henry Lloyd when he's 45, when he was 50 years old.
Right.
He hit 455.
Well, that's my dream too. If I think I can still do it. Now, well, let's go to third base, and I see a guy, and it says Eagles on him, and he's about 6'3", and his name is Ray Dandridge. What can we say about him?
Well, Ray, back during the quota system, which meant that if you had one black ball player on your team, you had to have two. So the Minneapolis Millers of the American Association had Willie Mays, and they needed a fill-in, so they got Ray Dandridge. Well, Ray played second base for the Millers, and he got called up, or he showed up for the Millers, and they said, well, you know, we really have a guy playing second base. Do you think you could fill in for third base for our injured player? And Willie sort of laughed, and Dandridge sort of laughed. This guy was the perennial all-star third baseman in the Negro Leagues.
Wow.
And he was the MVP of the American Association that year.
Wow. Well, let's go over to left field now, and we've got another guy, Grays. Now, what city was the Grays from?
Homestead, which is a small city outside of Pittsburgh. It wasn't so small back then because it had the Homestead steel mill.
Okay. And his name was Cool Papa Bell. Sounds like he might be a rap star.
Well, James. There are many sports writers, including Bob Bragg, called him James because he knew him well. But Cool Papa was the player who played more years than anyone I ever knew. And
he was a Julio Franco before Julio Franco was around.
Yes, he played a long time. And he was a janitor in a St. Louis school system. And he used to go out and watch the baseball games. Cool Papa Bell is like the all-time, probably the all-time best Negro Leaguer, all-around player.
Wow.
He was a pitcher. He had a knuckleball and said only his sister could catch his knuckleball.
Wow.
He was a left-handed knuckleball
pitcher. Must
had a tough
sister.
And so, that's how he got his name, Cool Papa Bell, is Rube Foster was watching him warm up in front of a 30,000 crowd and going, look at that guy. He doesn't even realize there's 30,000 people out here who hate him. How can you be so cool?
Oh, that's why. So now let's go to center field while the announcer's trying to talk over us. Oscar Charleston, and he's got a Crawford jersey on.
Pittsburgh team, and this is a fella who took on considerable bulk in his later years, and the Negro Leaguers who were polled listed only two players as the greatest players of all time. The old guys chose Oscar Charleston. The newer guys chose Willie Mays. When the Negro Leagues was founded in 1920. The other club owners went to Rube Foster and said, you have all the best players. You've got to do something to even this up. So he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. And he sent Oscar Charleston, his best player, to the Indianapolis ABCs, which was the worst team, and said, this will even up the league. Well, led by Oscar Charleston, the Indianapolis ABCs won the pennant in the first year.
Wow, what a tribute.
Yes, he's a one-man team.
What a tribute, especially in baseball. I could see basketball, but when you're one of nine, but you're able to pull it off.
He was later pictures of him show he's almost a dead ringer for Kirby Puckett.
Wow.
He was broad and huge and short and
well,
could steal.
Let's go to right field because, you know, in Little League, we put the weakest guy on right field, but I'm sure this Hall of Famer is pretty outstanding. And he has Eagles on his front chest, and this is Leon Day.
He's a pitcher.
And they put him in right field.
Well, he's a hard-hitting pitcher. Actually, Bullet Rogan led the Negro Leagues in batting, home runs, and one-loss percentage and wins in 1 year.
Wow.
Leon Day pitched a no-hitter on opening day in 1946. And he and Bob Feller are the only two pitchers ever to throw no-hitters on
opening day.
And Leon Day was a short-arm pitcher. He short-armed the ball. so that and it made it very difficult to pick it up.
And for our listeners who love baseball but might not be up on some of this terminology, when you short arm the ball, did he have like a short throwing motion?
Yes, he threw pretty much out of his shoulder, and it was, the ball went extremely fast. The batters hated to bat off of him because they couldn't pick it up.
Wow.
It's like he was shooting it out of his ear.
Wow.
And,
so all 9 or all 10 of these men are Hall of Famers. They were ball players among ball players. And this is very, very impressive. When you come to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, the centerpiece will be the Field of Legends.
This has been a Baseball PhD production. Copyright 2010.